Two musicians in Sydney, Australia, are claiming that they are the world's most prolific composers. They say they've written more than 100 billion melodies using a computer. The two artists say they've applied for copyrights on their compositions, and they're claiming that people around the world now owe them royalties. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
Sydney artist Nigel Hellyer says he never gave copyright law much thought until he did a public art project called An Unrequited Space in 1992. It centered on a large bell that he installed in a flooded underground bunker of sorts beneath a Sydney park.
We tolled the bell every midnight and mixed in live sound effects with a series of pre-recorded stories about the underground psychologically and physically and historically.
For 21 nights, the whole thing was carried live on national radio by the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
The time's approaching midnight on ABC FM as we cross to an unrequited space, a space deep underground in an abandoned railway tunnel under Sydney's Hyde Park, where artist Nigel Hellyer and bell ringer Nelia Justo are tolling the changing of the day.
It is now exactly midnight.
The project and the broadcasts proved to be quite popular. Hellyer got a phone call congratulating him for getting it on television.
A TV company had built a whole episode of a program called Police Rescue, which goes out on ABC TV, around my bell, and I'd used it as central in the plot. And there commenced a long and rather amusing exchange of letters between myself and the producers about my copyright being broken. And I think the bottom line there was because I was an individual artist and they were a large video and film production house, they told me to go for a long walk off a short pier, basically.
Hellyer ended up getting pro bono legal help and the production company settled out of court. Meanwhile, Sydney composer John Drummond was writing scores for TV and film production houses. He was thinking about copyright too.
You often end up in arrangements where you're signing over copyright to the production house, and if you should actually use your melody again in some other form, you're infringing their copyright, even though at some point you composed.
Drummond and Hellyer have released a kind of commentary on their experiences. They created a website, magnus-opus.com. Drummond claims the website, in essence, contains billions of short snatches of melody.
Composed with 16 specific pitches arranged in two-note pairs.
The musical notes in those pairs correspond to the two tones that are generated when you push a button to dial your phone. Say you call NPR's main switchboard. Drummond and Hellyer's website says you're playing number 12,025,132,000 of Magnus Opus. Hellyer and Drummond say, thanks to their computer program, Magnus Opus contains melodies that correspond to every possible phone number. So every time someone uses tones to dial a phone, someone owes them a royalty payment. Anything from 5 U.S. cents for one use to $10,000 for a permanent license. Australian users add 10% sales tax. So far, no checks, but there has been email. About half the people who write take the project seriously. They're worried about their phone bills. The other half like the joke, the artists say. Siva Vaidyanathan likes the joke, too. He teaches information studies at the University of Wisconsin and recently published Copyrights and Copy Wrongs, a critical history of copyright law and culture in the U.S. He says Magnus Opus asks some pointed questions about what's known as intellectual property law.
Do we want to put all culture and information behind legal and electronic fences? And the other question it asks is, if we protect a specific piece of information for one purpose, should that limit all its other uses?
Vaidyanathan takes an example from hip-hop music. Say a rapper samples a few notes of a pop recording for a new song that somehow comments on the original, as a parody maybe. And say the rapper does it without getting permission. Until about a decade ago, Vaidyanathan says, that'd probably have been okay, but not anymore.
there was an important court case in 1991 that ruled that the number of notes one may take without permission is zero. And it's really become a major burden on creators, especially those creators who are working at the organic level, those who haven't hired lawyers yet.
In other words, Vaidyanathan says only someone with enough money to hire a lawyer and pay royalties to the owner of the original recording can actually release a parody that includes the sample from the original. Even then, it can only happen if the owner of the original doesn't mind. Artist Nigel Hellier says he believes in what he calls the original theory behind copyright law, that artists get paid for their work. He says he hopes Magnus Opus gets the public to think about the way those laws work in practice.
The kind of argument we're pushing is more a critique of how large, often transnational corporations are able to, by sheer dint of economic power and size, kind of corrupt that original meaning, and so they can control the economic lives of literally millions of people.
Nigel Hellier and John Drummond's Magnus Opus will not receive copyright in the U.S. American law doesn't protect collections of data. Nonetheless, the artists say they've asked Australian copyright authorities to help them collect royalties on their billions of tunes. Rick Carr, NPR News.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News.